This conference will now be recorded.
All right, it is 5:45 and I am going to call the Finance Committee meeting together for March 4th, 2021. And we will do a roll call.
Councilman Nelson.
Here.
Councilman Fagerly.
Here.
Councilman Osmus.
Here.
Councilman Plowman. Three ayes, one absent. Also joining us is Councilman Butterfield and City Clerk Judy Thompson and Finance Director Oakens.
All right, thank you. We have three action items and we will move on to the first one, the Wilmer Township Fire Contract. Mr. Oakens, oh, actually, I bet Judy, Ms. Thompson, you're going to do that one, aren't you?
Good evening, everyone. On tonight's agenda, obviously, is a Wilmer Township Fire Contract. As you know, that this is an annual contract that we renew every year. This year, it is in the amount of $31,838.72. And I'm recommending that we approve it. And this contract does run from April 1st of 2021 through March 31st of 2022.
Okay, I'm from the documentation, it looks like it's the same state formula that's been used in the past. Is that correct, Ms. Thompson?
That is correct. It's the same formula that we have used in the past. Just to update, you know, our fire costs, our firefighter hours, the calls, that type of thing, which you would find on the last page that is the fire cost formula page. So that is our new information.
All right, looking for a motion to, oh, Mr. Oaken.
I'll wait till a motion and then if there's discussion.
Okay.
Move to approve.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to recommend to council to approve a resolution and to execute the fire agreement with Wilmer Township for April 1st through March 31st. In the amount of $31,838.72. Mr. Oakens.
Judy, you mentioned the cost for the fire department and the number of fire hours. Do you make sure that the market values get updated as well in the formula?
Yes, I verify all that information with Frank, our fire chief. So he has verified everything with me. As far as that part, I get the market values from the county assessor's office. So, and then I just, you know, for Wilmer, City of Wilmer, Wilmer Township, and then there's only, you know, several, what do you call it? Sections out of Dovery Township. So
okay.
That is updated through the county assessor's office. The costs, like I say, for the apparatus, for the fire department budget, I get that out of finance department, Steve's office. And then, like I say, verify everything else with Fire Chief Frank Hansen and then do my calculations.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure that the market values get updated. So, and you
oh, yes.
Confirm. So, thank
yeah.
you.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any other questions? All right, hearing none. Do you want to do roll calls?
Councilman Fagerly. Councilman Osmus.
Aye.
Councilman Nelson.
Aye.
Three ayes, motion carries.
Okay, our next item is the Community Center Budget Amendment, and it's for a pen pals. Oh, that was Judy's last item, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Are you leaving us?
That is my last item, and okay. If it's okay with you, I would like to get on with my evening.
I just wanted to say thank you, so have
yep.
fun. Okay.
Thank you, guys. Have a good night.
Okay. Back to Mr. Oaken. We're going to talk about the Community Center Budget Amendment for the Pen Pals Grant.
Yes, Madam Chair, members of the committee, the staff at the Community Center has worked with a number of organizations and local businesses and has instituted what they titled Community Pen Pal Program. What the program is, as explained in your committee action form, is working with senior citizens at the Cardinal Place, the Dream Academy, Bethesda, Copperleaf, and the KMS schools to combat depression and loneliness during the winter months. And so they created a pen pal program. The pen pal program contributors are Waltz at $200, Interfaith at $250, West Central Tribune $250, Printmasters of Wilmer, some in-kind material for startup, Southwest Regional Sustainable Development Partnership Grant, that's the majority of it at $500, as well as a grant from Vision 2040 United Way for $500. Those dollars total $1,700. And so we have a revenue estimated increase of $1,700 and expenditure of $1,700 to the community center, in addition to what they had originally been approved in the 2021 budget. So we would be looking for a motion to recommend approval of the resolution to increase their budget by $1,700.
I'll make that motion.
Okay, thank you, Councilmember Osmus.
Second.
Okay. Go ahead, Councilmember Osmus.
Obviously a great idea and it's funded and all that's fine. But as far as the financial breakdown of the cost of that program, is it $1,500 or $1,700 seem a little excessive? I don't understand what, because even just stamps is going to be, well, stamps would be a little over $1,000, but does that all come out right? Another $500 for envelopes and paper?
I would have to verify, but there should have been a breakdown in your packet. If that did not get in there, I apologize for that. But they do show the majority of this envelopes and stamps. That's basically what it's all.
The figures that are at the bottom would total $1,200.
The bottom. Chair.
Well, budgetary fiscal issues, it says that's the donations.
On the second page, there's a second $500 on the
second. Oh, I missed the second page. I apologize. I had pulled it out. I missed that. So got it. That totals where the money came from. What Councilmember Osmus is asking about is how is it going to be spent.
Yeah, they show the majority of it as being for envelopes, and I'm assuming that the breakdown did not get put in the packet.
No.
Anybody else?
There. Well, it's $1,374 for a breakdown that I'm seeing.
Oh yes.
$1,374, but anyway, I just.
They show the remaining $325 remaining. So you do have that breakdown in your packet. Okay.
Sure. Right.
So is this, and I apologize if I missed it, but is this a project that they're having volunteers do out there, or is this something that staff is doing?
Staff is coordinating it, but I believe that's why they're working with the KMS school district as far as the pen pals, why they're not working with the Wilmer School District. That was not explained to me, I guess.
My guess would be when they started this, the kids weren't in the school.
Oh.
And I think KMS is. And so it was just probably easier for a teacher to hand it out physically in a classroom with students.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, I think also Brenda's mom is a teacher over Kirkhoven, so.
Oh, that would make sense too.
Okay. So they got that school to volunteer on the pen pal side then.
Or voluntold, however that goes.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
That might be something that if someone questions that, we might want to just make sure that that's what's going on and if I was just curious how it was relating to if the seniors are volunteering or you know, how we were. It says 80 senior riders, so I'm assuming that that would be our senior citizens that are at the community center and 80 students.
That would be my.
That's the seniors that are at the listed places in the car. That's Wilmer Gardner Place, Dream Academy, Bethesda, Copperleaf.
Yep.
Would be where seniors are located, I believe. And then 80 students.
Okay. All right. Are we good with it, or do we want any additional information for the minutes? Is there a request for anything additional before we vote? Mr. Butterfield, do you, Councilmember Butterfield, do you have any questions?
No, I was just having some downtime, so I just figured I'd join and I'd listen to
You are more than welcome. So I just.
Madam Chair,
yeah.
I know in the past when a committee member could not join and there were council members, they were allowed to vote. I don't know if you want to do that now with Councilman Butterfield or how you want to handle that.
I am fine with that. I wasn't sure if Andrew had asked for a replacement or not. So I'm fine with that. I don't have any issues.
I'd just rather just sit by and watch, if that's all right.
Okay.
All right, sure. I just wanted clarification on that. Thank you.
Okay. So we're good with that. We have a motion and a second, right?
Yes, we do.
Okay. You want to do roll call?
Councilman Osmus.
Aye.
Councilman Nelson.
Aye.
Councilman Fagerly.
Aye.
Three ayes.
All right, Mr. Elkins, do you want to go on to the last one, the tobacco grant with Park and Rec?
Yes, Madam Chair. Included in your packet again is a committee action request form explaining that the City Council changed the tobacco policy for the usage of tobacco in the city parks in December of this year or last year. And the recreational board recommended that the replacement of the old tobacco signs be done due to that change that the council did on the policy. Staff at the community center again has contacted Candy, Ojai, and Renville County Statewide Health Improvement Program, or SHIP, and also the DFC Coalition of Drug-Free Communities from Candy, Ojai County, who have both agreed to contribute $500 each for a total of $1,000 for the replacement of the signs in the city parks, making them tobacco-free. And again, we would recommend a motion to introduce a resolution to amend the park and recreational budget that was approved with an additional $1,000 of these two contributions.
I'll make that motion.
All right.
Second it.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to recommend to the City Council of Wilmer to approve the budget amendment increase in the amount of $1,000 to replace the outdated tobacco-free park signs. My only question is, who's going to put them up? SHIP gave us signs for the bikes and public works. I think we still have signs that haven't been put up yet with that. And so just a recognition that it does take time to do that, but I would think we would want these up as soon as possible. And since this is coming through Park and Rec, can we just make sure that someone gets them up?
I will make that notation in the minutes, Madam Chair, that the Rec Department work with Public Works in the.
Yeah, I don't.
Get them.
I don't know what has to come down or what has to go up, but I think we almost ran out of grant time last time and they weren't up. So. Any other questions or comments? All right, roll call.
Councilman Nelson.
Aye.
Councilman Fagerly?
Aye.
Councilman Osmus?
Aye.
Three ayes, motion passes.
Okay, that is the end of our three action items for tonight. And then, Mr. Elkins, you wanted to just share with us information on the Industrial Development Fund report?
Yes, Madam Chair, members of the committee, as we have started at our last meeting to submit a copy of the different funds that the city has, that the council has designated. The one that we are presenting tonight is the Industrial Development Fund. This was established a number of years ago, basically the development of the old industrial park. When the airport was located at the old site, filled up. And so that was a contributing factor to the relocation of the airport. That funding for the airport was done with a number of grants, plus the dollars that were in this exact fund contributed to the relocating of the airport, which then freed up the present industrial park. The reason that the sales tax dollars were transferred into this fund in 2012 at the expiration of the previous sales tax was that the industrial park was one of the four projects that were authorized to get that shovel ready, which it is today. There was somewhat of a delay in doing the improvements due to the FAA lag time on giving the land release. But once in 2016, the release was received, work was done on the western sanitary sewer line that runs along County Road 5 in conjunction with the county when they realigned County Road 5 did that. As you see there, we were anticipating the sale of a couple lots in 2019. That project did not materialize. And so we did come back to the council and had a budgetary amendment to reduce that in 2019. Since that time, we have sold some lots. In 2016, when we got the land release, we had three sales, one to Dooley's, one to Bacchus Telecommunications, and one to Berg Fabricating. In 2017, we had another sale to GM Trucking. And in 2018, we had yet another sale to Bueller Manufacturing. 2019 started the Y project for the realignment of the railroad tracks and actually had another sale as part of that whole transaction to Huffman Construction, the contractor on the Y project. So we have had some sales. Those dollars go back into this fund or did go back into this fund. As you see at the bottom of the description there, we do have as part of the Y project a commitment of $1.3 million for water and sewer work and the city's share of the Y project. That amount was jointly agreed to be split between the municipal utilities and the city of $680,000. That's the legal contract, and you may remember we've talked about a number of times where the project actually will be less than that, and we've tried to get an agreement, an amendment with the state of Minnesota to reduce it. The bids actually came in at an estimated $850,000 compared to the $1.3 million. But that agreement, the state has not been willing to amend that agreement. So we have to maintain this obligated dollars until that would get done. And I know engineering, we've talked with them, and the state is somewhat reluctant to do that. But there's about $250,000 there on the city side that could be freed up if we were able to get an amendment to that agreement. But since it's a legal document signed both by the state and the city and the players, partners in the project, we have to maintain this obligation until we do. So that's kind of the history. Any kind of sales also can certainly change this dedication. There is still approximately 500 acres of industrial parkland of the old airport site that isn't been platted. That there's about 100 acres that has been platted. So one of the items that we've talked about during the budget process is the possibility of revenue from the sale of the old industrial parkland, since that's all been released by aeronautics. So that's still something that could be discussed now or when we get into the budget process for 2022.
Mr. Okins, we will have an obligation though for the Y project. We just don't know the amount, right?
Well, right now the $680,000 is the maximum amount by the agreement that's been signed.
Okay. There was a conversation when that sale was going to take place out there about needing to put up a stoplight, because if I remember correctly, that was to the tune of a couple hundred thousand, between $200,000 or $300,000 that it would cost to put a stoplight out there, and then they decided not to do that because the land sale didn't go through. But that right now, that would be money that could be used for that. My other question is, since we're working on epitopics, would this qualify as the does that qualify as the industrial park? Would this be money that this, if the city is asked to contribute money for the water, correct?
That's correct.
Would this be someplace, since there isn't money anywhere in the budget, would this be somewhere that we could go to for a city contribution if that's what happens, or what if that's what we're asked?
This is one of the
four, that was going to be my question.
This is one of the four possible avenues or sources that the committee has discussed. Under the present agreement with the municipal utilities, the policy is that the city would pay for, or the developer would pay 100% of any kind of water costs. That's not only in the agreement between the utilities and the city, which was signed in 2018, but it's also in the city's assessment policy. So it would take council action to suspend those two policies, but these dollars, again, were one of the avenues that we've looked at. We also discussed Farm Service elevator. When that was constructed, they needed water and sewer as well. There was a side agreement where they paid 100% of the costs up front, and then when any business or anybody would tie into that, they would get the tapping fees reimbursed to them. That's another avenue that's been discussed for the epitopics project. Again, Aaron Backman mentioned that they are having conversations with Epitopics as well, as far as a cash contribution. All those different revenue sources have been discussed and nothing's been finalized yet. And that's why that would still come back to the committee for appropriate action.
Mr. Okins, if we are asked to contribute to that cost, would that be setting a precedence for an industrial property for us to actually pay that?
It certainly could. One item or one source that I did forget to mention was tax increment financing. If you remember, Aaron mentioned that the estimated improvements to their facility is in the tune of about $15 million. And so tax increment financing certainly would be an option as well. But I think if there is some type of, what do I want to say? The city has a land write down policy, but there is no policy in place outside of the assessment policy and the agreement with utilities for water and sewer infrastructure. Okay. Only a land write down at the present time.
Okay, I was only asking that as a question. I'm just wondering what we will come up with, and just looking for information on history of that, or what we might be asked to do again in the future if we did do it. So
yeah, the $1 million that you see here is the public improvement revolving dollar amount, which is again the level that the past councils has set to temporarily fund projects until permanent financing can be determined. And so this certainly would qualify for that, to cover those costs until final decisions are made on the revenue sources for the water.
But the ultimate goal would be to make sure that there is $1 million there to use for that, right? Because we pay it back.
Right, that has been used for the auditorium project. It has been used for certain street improvements, and the requirement is that it be paid back within 5 years of its use.
Okay, all right. Questions from council members? Nobody's at raising their hand or asking.
This again.
You asked my questions, Audrey.
Good, we were thinking the same way. That's good. Councilmember Fagerly, you're good? All right, Councilmember Butterfield, you're good? All right. Okay, thank you. And you, we're now looking for department update report.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, finance is busy with audit, year-end, pre-audit. The number of local option sales tax projects has added a little bit to our year-end, as well as I mentioned early on in the meeting that just the way that the payrolls fell, we had 27 payrolls, so we have to do some adjusting to accruals on those so that they fall within the correct year as well. But we're busy with the audit, busy with local option sales tax, the curling project, Epitopics, City Hall / Community Center, a number of projects that we're busy with right now. And it's somewhat delayed with COVID, with some people not in the office, but we're working through those issues, and it just delays things a slight when we're dealing with that, because you can't go and get the information right away. Sometimes you have to wait for a response. But
Mr. Elkins, I forget, what is the goal timeframe to be done with the audit? I know we have a deadline for the state, but I can't remember if we've...
The city side, we try to be done by the end of March, and it has to be filed with the state auditor by the end of June. Okay. So we allow 3 months for each facet of it.
Okay. I did have a question. Have you heard anything on LGA at all with the new budget information from the state? Have you gotten any information?
I have gotten no additional information. All indications are that the first half of the biennium, which would be this year, there would more than likely be no cuts. What finally ends up, now that the February forecast is better than they anticipated, will be determined when they get some final bills proposed at the legislature. There is some discussion down there about forming a citizen committee made up of citizens to be involved with the property tax process. I don't know where exactly that is at the legislature, but there is discussion about that on the property tax side.
And do you know what their goal is for that? Is it somewhat a control of increases, or a control of how taxes are calculated, or do you know what they're trying to accomplish with the citizen?
I believe it's expansion of the truth in taxation process. As you know, property tax owners receive a notice when the proposed taxes are being proposed, but participation in the public hearings has not been real active. And so I think this is some legislators trying to get people to be more active in the process to require this committee, is how I am interpreting it.
It's funny, my phone, I'm sorry I hadn't shut my phone off, but there's an email from the coalition right now that is actually talking about the state budget forecasts and still some of the concerns about the legislative process before they're done with the budget. So
I certainly can include, I do get emails from the Coalition of Greater Minnesota Cities and the League of Minnesota Cities. I can include them as informational in the agendas I did that on the committee on the last meeting from the league for this property tax committee. I mean, as an informational item, and we don't need to address them, but I can just include them on any notifications I get.
I would encourage council members just to sign up to receive those notifications too, and maybe that's something that we could include in the agenda with where to go to sign up for the regular correspondence that comes both from the league and from the coalition.
We can include a link so that all that has to be done is that you click on.
That would be good. Thank you.
Yep.
Anything else from your department?
Not at this point.
Okay. All right. And future agenda items, is there anything? We've kind of walked through those. We're all good with those for right now.
Yeah, the investment policy and the fund balance policy are ready to come to you at our next meeting. The fund balance policy has no major changes. There was a couple, there was a unrestricted and restricted that had been reversed, and so we corrected that, and then we moved a couple paragraphs, and we'll have that for you. But we're having no major recommendations on either one of those two policies, but we'll have those at our next meeting. And the pre-audit, again, we ran into that 27th payroll, so that we should be able to have those adjusted numbers to you at that time as well.
And we'll actually do a motion for those to meet the audit requirements, right? To adjust it.
Yeah, I'm getting clarification on that since we are past. I looked at the charter requirements, so it couldn't be just a acknowledgement rather than actual action because we're done with 2020.
Okay. I knew we had reviewed that after the audit last year and just wanted to make sure we were following the protocols that we had set. So.
Yeah, I'll have the audit findings, a copy of that included in the packet.
Okay. Councilmember Osmus.
I don't have my schedule in front of me, but did we come up with a date that we were going to have the full council, city hall, community center meeting yet?
No, I actually asked Mr. Gramitz about that when he called and said he wasn't going to be able to be here, and it doesn't sound like there's an agreement on that yet. So I don't... that maybe we can put in a request to I think it would help us to prioritize even with the conversation the other night about local options tax projects to have all of the information before we're asked to make some decisions. So maybe Mr. Okins can carry that back to Mr. Grant as a request. That'd be okay.
I will check with him and see where that is at in the process. I know that the doodle poll was not working very well, and they had suggested possible prior to the next council meeting, and that did not, wasn't very workable either. So those were the two options, and neither one worked at this point, my last conversation, but I'll check with him.
Councilmember Osmus, do you want us to request, or should we just wait it out? I know they're working on it, but I don't know. I have no clue.
No, I didn't have anything down, and I thought maybe I had missed it. And so I was questioning if there was a date that I had missed. But I definitely think we need to pursue it because, just like you said, Audrey, if we can't agree on a funding source for the City Hall Community Center, and if that isn't going to go forward, then we can at least eliminate that $2 million for the other projects with the local option sales tax. But it's important that we have that meeting.
They kind of walk together in my mind to be able to know where we're at with bonding and those types of things too. So
right.
Maybe we can ask for an update on that plan or when that is.
Good.
So go ahead. For the doodle poll, did it just not come up with a date that worked for everybody, or were people not responding, or what didn't work?
I don't know. That was not. I trust Mr. Graham is doing his best to try to figure that out. I did hear the mayor on the radio make a statement that there were 14 people that they were trying to get schedules together with. So I think we can rely on Mr. Graham's to just if we put the request in. Mr. Okins, did you want to comment?
Yeah, no, I just was going to comment that it was kind of a combination of both. Not everybody has responded, but it was being a couple of people were not available except for maybe the end of March.
Okay. All right. Any other questions for Mr. Oakens or for future meetings? You good, Councilmember Osmond? Councilmember Fegley?
I'm good.
All right. Councilmember Butterfield, anything you'd like to ask or contribute?
No, I'm good. I'm just observing, watching.
Well, thank you. Thank you. All right. That's it. We're done. I will look for a motion to adjourn.
I'm moved.
Second. All right. We have a motion and a second. We are adjourned. Thank you, everyone. Enjoy your evening.
Thank you. Good night.
Bye. Yep.